Let's open with hymn number 20. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never let me be ashamed.
Lord, hear me through the fire, and through the sun.
with you.
And my spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank Thee that by Thy word Thou hast brought us out of the darkness of papacy into the light of Thy grace. We beseech Thee mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from all error and false doctrine, and grant that we may not, as the Jews, become ungrateful and despise and persecute Thy word, but receive it with all our heart, govern our lives according to it, and put all our trust in Thy grace through the merit of Thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 25th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 14th chapter of Job, the 1st through the 5th verse. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds, but he cannot pass. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the 13th through the 18th verse, reading as follows. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be ever with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Here ends the epistle. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if men shall say to you, "Lo, here is Christ," or "Lo, there," believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, "Behold, he is in the desert," go not forth. Or, "Behold, he is in the secret chambers," believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 605.
Thank you.
unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the third chapter of Joel, the 9th through the 21st verse. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of his children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord, water the valley of acacias. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness because of violence against the people of Judah, for they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will acquit them of the guilt of bloodshed, whom I had not acquitted, for the Lord dwells in Zion. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in truth, and in these last days, as the time grows near when thy Son returns, let us fix our eyes upon the hope revealed therein. Amen. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, our Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He does not always chastise his children, even when they deserve it. But he cares for them with his tender love, even as a father who pities his own children. These words from our Heavenly Father are important to hear, because as the last days of this world continue to grow nearer, there is more and more reason to believe that God no longer cares for us at all, but is only building up to a crescendo of wrath, which he will finally unleash upon the children of men until they are utterly destroyed. In our gospel lesson, Jesus teaches his disciples that such distressing days as we see will come upon the earth. They indeed would even be culminated in a judgment of all the nations of the earth. And even in their own lifetimes, the disciples would see such distress and judgment that if they did not know any better, they would have to believe that God had turned his face away from them entirely. And finally, every kingdom of the world would come to rise up against Jesus and against his disciples, and the enemies of Christ would far outnumber the saints. In the face of an enemy, you have two choices. You can surrender or you can fight. But when the enemy is very great, and you are very small and weak, the rational thing to do is surrender. In our lessons today, our Lord is telling us in no uncertain terms that our enemies are mighty, and that we, by comparison, are small and weak. What the eyes and ears of the disciples told them was indeed true. Based on the senses, they might as well give up now and surrender. This is a rational choice unless, as it sometimes happens in war, you have intelligence, information, which contradicts what your own eyes and ears tell you, informing you that the enemy is vulnerable and that you have a great and mighty army laying in wait to conquer them. It is just such information which our Lord Jesus tells his disciples, confirming the words of the prophet Joel, who speaks of these last days of the earth. We learn from their words to be bold and brave, even when the earth and sun, moon, and stars seem to be set against us. For though we are weak and few, the Lord our God fights for us. He will be a shelter for his people. Jesus Christ is still with us, not in weakness, but in his almighty strength. And though he is hidden from our eyes, as the battle hymn declares, he holds the field forever. And therefore we may be glad and sing in the face of mighty foes, because our Lord Jesus will never leave us, nor will he remain hidden forever. Today he dispels the darkness of these last days, not with his visible presence, but with his words of promise and comfort. And on the appointed day, he will bring the glory and power of the heavenly host to bear against the devil, and he will overthrow all the wicked. And on that glad day, we shall stand with him and enter into his glory forever. The words which Jesus tells his disciples in the gospel lesson and the words of the prophet Joel are one. Because the Son of God spoke in the ancient times through the prophets, and in our day he speaks and preaches through the testimony of the apostles, who bring us his words just as he proclaimed them in person. In many scriptures, Jesus shows us things to come. Many of them are dreadful. And Jesus tells us the dreadful things, as he said, so that when they happen, we will remember his words. And we will not be afraid that he has lost control. Even in the day of trouble, his words are being fulfilled. He still directs the course of this world, and he surely will do what he has promised. He will cause the end of it to be that the land will flow with milk and honey, the mountains will drip with new wine, and no foreign invader will ever enter into his holy city again. But we all together shall be safe, living in Mount Zion forever. That is the end of the prophecy, whose beginning we see, first in Jerusalem, and now being fulfilled among us. And so how comforting it is to see that even in the middle of trouble, the words of our Savior are being kept. We need to hear and believe these promises. The dreadful times of which Jesus speaks have taken place. The words of our gospel lesson have already been fulfilled, and many of his words have yet to occur. It is this second part of Jesus' prophecy of the end times, which Joel in our sermon text declares, when the earth quakes and the sun and moon and stars are darkened, and when every nation rises up together to battle against God. But the end of the world has a beginning. The first stroke of judgment has already fallen. It fell upon the city of Jerusalem. This is the time spoken of by the prophet Daniel, when the abomination of desolation was to come into the holy place. The holy place, as we hear in Ezekiel 43, is the whole territory surrounding the Temple Mount. When that happens, Jesus tells his disciples, run. Run for your lives. Run with whatever clothes you have on. Do not look back. Do not attempt to gather your belongings. Flee as fast as you can. For those who are caught up in the judgment that will come will endure some of the most horrible hardship the world has ever seen, and more horrible than they will ever see again. All these words of Jesus took place 40 years later, exactly as he predicted and described. The abomination which made desolate, the emblem of Rome, the eagle which was the symbol of all her idolatry and her strength, was carried into Jerusalem twice after the time which Jesus spoke. First in 66 AD, and and then 3.5 years later in 70. At the first sign, the Christians in the city remembered Jesus' words, and they all fled. But it was the second time that Jesus especially meant. For Titus, who came in 70 AD, indeed made the entire region utterly desolate. First, he starved everyone until mothers turned to their own children for food. And then he crucified the people by the thousands until there were not enough crosses to find to put people on, and not enough places to put up the crosses that they had. And so they took to stacking up the bodies along the sides of the road like kindling. In all the history of the world, there was never a massacre like it, and there will never be another like it again. During the siege, the temple was burned, and the gold in the temple melted into the cracks and crevices of the stones. And in their greed, the Roman soldiers pried every single stone of the temple apart in order to get at the gold, thus bringing to pass another part of the prophecy which Jesus spoke, that when these things take place, not one stone would be left upon another. Of those wretched days, even the historian Josephus noted that there had never been a slaughter like it in the history of the world. But in spite of all this, the Lord preserved his people. Because the Christians heard the word of their Savior Jesus, they had fled the city 3.5 years before, and they carried the gospel throughout the whole world. God had not only preserved his church from such a horrendous death, he caused it to grow and flourish. Thus in 70 AD, we have yet another proof of God's promises. He foretold the destruction of Jerusalem, but he preserved his church and his word. And out of destruction, he brought light to men, not just in the regions of Israel, but throughout all the world. But Jesus did not stop his prophecy with the destruction of Jerusalem. In Joel, we hear of a still later time. These words speak of a judgment which will come to pass, not just upon Jerusalem, but upon all the world. First, he tells us, Jesus says, there will be many false Christs who would come, claiming to be the Lord Jesus. They would appear all over the place, throughout the world, in the desert, in the so-called secret places. Well, we are living in those days even now. And following that time, the judgment which began in Jerusalem would extend to the entire world. Not just Rome, but all the nations of the world would rise up against the Lord, even as we see them doing in this our day. How does the Lord respond to them? Well, he is fit for the challenge. He eggs them on. Come now, you people who would overthrow me. Go ahead, raise up all the armies you have, and if that's not enough, beat all of your plows into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Come one and all who think that they can stand against me. Bring forward your mightiest men who boast I am strong, even though in fact they are all weak. Come do battle with my mighty host, and let us see who shall finally prevail. Think carefully on those words. We are living in just such a time. The nations of the world are already gathered around, threatening the Church of Christ, threatening to tear down God's own Son, ignoring the angelic host that is hidden from their eyes, and thinking that they surely will conquer, that the devil will succeed in snuffing out Christ from this world. They think they are their own masters. They cruelly persecute the Christians in their midst. This tribulation is upon most of the world already. It's not a matter of if, but when. We all know that it may well be right around the corner for our own land. Already, we see throughout the nations of the earth that Christians are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And even in our own country, this is becoming less and less an isolated incident and more common. We have every reason to believe that in our own lifetime we will see our freedom to worship Christ openly and proclaim his gospel to men be taken away from us. We should not be surprised if it happens. because the prophets and Jesus have already spoken of it. It is remarkable and a sign of the mercy of God that it has not happened among us sooner. All these things take place, and as they happen, we will be tempted to be very much afraid. And it will not just be fear of our government, but fear that the devil will, but it will be the devil tempting us to despair of God's love. He will whisper in our ears that all is lost, that believe your eyes, Christ has failed, heaven is a myth. And because we are sinners, and our flesh is always trying to cast out Christ and his word, the devil's lies will have a powerful draw upon us. And therefore, do not be surprised if you fear the days ahead. Remember the words of this prophecy, how the Lord calls out the nations to go ahead and rise up against him, and he challenges them to do their worst. When you see such things take place, know that it is because Jesus Christ is there, bringing the wicked out of their holes and into the light of day, so that their evil will plainly be revealed in the sight of all, and so that finally, in the sight of all, he might overthrow them, not with some long protracted battle, but with a single blow, and bring in at that point the days of everlasting righteousness. Believe this word of our Savior. When the days are the darkest, and even when the earth itself is turning against us, and the sun and moon and stars are darkened, and all seems lost, our Lord Jesus will roar from Zion. He will come, not gradually, but like the lightning which arches from the east to the west in the blink of an eye. With one arm, he will scoop us up, carry us to safety, while with the other arm he will strike down the unholy nations of this world who have risen up against him. We should not be surprised when we do not see the hand of the Lord overpowering the weak in this world, because Jesus has never promised that he would conquer the world in bits and pieces, but in one magnificent and almighty blow. The sudden nature of the judgment of the world should be a great comfort to us, because it assures us that no matter how destitute our lot seems to be, Jesus is going to change it all in a moment from sorrow to great joy. If all of this seems too fanciful, we have only to look to Jesus' own record. Before he died, he told his disciples that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, beaten, abused, scourged, spit upon, and crucified, and then on the third day he would rise again from the dead. And all of these things, of course, came to pass, just as he said. Talk of the resurrection must surely seem fanciful when one is facing a fate worse than death, as was Jesus. And yet that part of Jesus' words also came true. We do not face the kind of trial that he did. But the dark days ahead are dreadful enough on their own. Jesus has been faithful in his promises in every way. And just as the resurrection took place, just as he said, we should not doubt but firmly believe that he will keep these wonderful promises also. He will raise up the dead in Christ, and he will transform his living saints. And he will bring us all together into Mount Zion. The Jerusalem which is above will come down to earth, and it will transform the entire world into a holy place where no unrighteousness will ever dwell again. The dividing line between heaven and earth will all but cease to exist, and there in the new and glorious creation, we will be sheltered and fed by the Lord himself. And Christ Jesus will reign, not for a mere 1,000 years, but forever and ever. Remember this hope in the dark days ahead, and let the promises of our Lord Jesus cheer you, and give you the boldness to declare his gospel among men, and to praise the Lord of our salvation. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, holy and righteous art Thou. Thy mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and Thy truth endures throughout all generations. Hear the voice of our supplication, O Lord. We thank Thee for all Thy mercies which Thou hast given in Jesus Christ, Thy Son, who took upon Himself the form of a servant and humbled Himself unto the death of the cross, that we might receive the remission of our sins, the assurance of everlasting life, and the certainty of the resurrection of our bodies on the last day. In this faith, Lord, take from us the sting of sorrow and the victory of the grave. In this blessed hope in the risen Christ, help us to conquer all fear of death and to live in the confidence that because He lives, we shall also live and bear the image of the heavenly. Comfort by this grace and truth all who are bereaved, and wipe all tears from their eyes. Deliver us from the tribulations of this world, its false Christs and false prophets, its heresies and divisions, its wars and oppressions, its bloodshed and pain, and grant that as the days which Thou hast appointed us are few and troubled, we may apply our hearts unto Thy wisdom, and ever abide under the shadow of Thy love and power. Prosper Thy church, dear God, and help her to work diligently while it is day, because the night comes. Keep Thy church pure from sin and all false doctrine, that she may be spotless when her Lord shall return. Stretch forth Thy hand over the nations of the earth, rebuke the vain and proud, comfort the oppressed, and bless the obedient, that all may know that Thou only art God. Preserve our nation from corruption, that we come not under Thy judgment. Breathe Thy Spirit upon our land, that civil righteousness and peace may prevail, and that all may attend to their duties in every fruitful occupation. We entreat Thee to look in mercy upon all the sick and any who are stricken in body, mind, or spirit. Manifest Thy presence unto them and heal them according to Thy love and their need. Forgive us our sins for Christ's sake, and give us that peace which passes all understanding, that joy which no man can take from us, and that hope which fades not away. In the name of Jesus, which is above every other name, we pray. Amen. We sing hymn number 608. us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we love and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, but deliver us from evil. Saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, to life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. For his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sing hymn 51. bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.